Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Maybe you've seen this video before. We have a tendency to use it as sort of a bumper before the sermon time. Or maybe you've seen it on our website or on Facebook, things like that. My favorite part of that video, and maybe you identify with this too, my favorite part of that video is by a YouTube user named Pushing Guy. And he's the guy who's pushing the pull door, right? How many of you, and I'll answer this question before you have to, how many of you have felt like you've been like that in some circumstance? I very often will feel like, man, I've just been coming from the wrong direction on something for like however long. To be frank with you, I run into some feeling like that at least once a week. It's pretty often where I sort of realize, oh, I've been coming at something from a completely wrong direction. Or at least that there's been an opportunity. There's an opportunity for me to look at something a different way, to approach something a different way. And I hope that our time today, our hope that this teaching time today might offer us a little bit of a different way to look at an aspect of our faith. I hope it challenges you. And to be really honest with you, I hope at the end of our teaching and sermon time today, to be honest with you, I hope you feel uncomfortable. I think part of, frankly, my job as a pastor is not always to offer comfort. There are absolutely times for that. But sometimes I think sometimes my job is to help us get out of our comfort zones. Because I think we need that from time to time. And frankly, I think that was a big part of what Jesus did in first century Jerusalem, is he shifted people out of their comfort zones. I'm not trying to claim to be Jesus, but I do claim to follow Jesus' call. And so I think that we're going to get a little uncomfortable today. We've been participating in this series where part of what we did that was uncomfortable was talk about some of the history and tradition of the Christian faith that maybe has been harmful. I think it's important to know what kinds of traditions that maybe have been harmful that we can maybe set aside so that we can get into the core of our faith. And then over the next few weeks, we've addressed some pretty important things. We talked about the greatest commandment. Like, what's the priority of our faith? And we think about Jesus, when we think about Jesus' greatest commandment, love God with all you have and love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that about building relationships? Building relationships with the divine and building relationships with our communities. And isn't that important? And we're going to touch on that a little bit today. The following week, we moved on to a little bit of conversation about, wrong page here. We turned a little bit to the idea of just we're not perfect people. We all have flaws. We all mess up from time to time. Sometimes I use the language of being broken. We're all broken in some way. But we also touched on that ancient Japanese art. Maybe you've heard about it. That ancient Japanese art that is especially present in pottery and those kinds of things, where something that has been broken will be mended. But it's mended not in a way to hide the cracks, but it's mended with whatever the glue substance is that they use. It's laced with gold so that those cracks are highlighted. And it's a beautiful art. If you're a fan of the Amazon series, The Man in the High Castle, a recent episode had an element where one of the Japanese characters mended a broken cup with this art. It's absolutely beautiful. And I think that when we who are people of faith recognize that God fills in our broken places and that we are more beautiful with God filling in our broken places than we might be if we thought we were perfect, I think that's a good thing for us to remember. I think that God's grace makes us more than we could be on our own. And I think that's an important aspect of our faith. We also talked about God's work. Where is God? How do we see God working in the world? And this is what we talked about last week, where we don't necessarily see God all the time working in these divine and miraculous ways. This is not to say that God doesn't work in those ways, but most often when we observe God's work, we see God working through people, through humanity, through God's creation. That's certainly the way that I most often see God's work. And we acknowledge that we might have a call to participate in God's work in the world. And that's going to be a large part of our focus today. Acknowledging God's call to participate in the work that God is already doing in our world and in our communities. I invite you to consider if you have ever been someone who have felt called to do a particular thing. And this congregation is really good at many of these things. This congregation is really good at providing meals to people. We've got our storefront ministry for a shelter out in Hillcrest that we have folks from this congregation offer a meal once a month to homeless teens in the storefront shelter. This congregation every single week provides a meal to people in this community. Many of those who show up are unsheltered persons. We welcome anyone who wants to come and have a meal. And there are a number, even from this congregation, who come and engage in fellowship and get to know one another. One of the things that I think is just as important as giving a meal is sitting across from someone who is so used to being ignored at the intersections and in the alcoves of shops. Just to sit and look somebody in the eye and acknowledge them as a human being is an incredible ministry. Now, there are some difficulties when it comes to that particular ministry that I've run into that have really sort of affected me in an emotional way. And that's sometimes when there are folks here at, frankly, inappropriate times, people sleeping on the property. And I've had more than once to call the police or to engage people face-to-face and say, I'm sorry. This is not a place for you to sleep. And part of what I find tragic about that is I hate the idea of telling somebody that the church is not a place where you can be right now. And the reality is that when people are leaving needles and trash and other inappropriate things around the property, that there's going to be some natural consequences for that. And unfortunately, we're going to have to enforce those boundaries. The healthy boundaries are a good thing, and I get that, even then it's hard. But I still think there are some things that I can learn about it. And here's an example that came from this morning. There was a couple hiding in the bushes right over here on this side of the building. As I drove up, I saw their bikes and I saw them through the bushes. And so after I parked, I went over there and I said, listen, I'm sorry to ask you guys to go, but I'm going to have to let you know that, this is not a place to sleep. And I'm sorry we can't offer more hospitality, and I shared some of the things that we do have, church on Sunday morning, the meal on Wednesday night. But I said, unfortunately, sleeping here is not okay. And here's where I think I failed in that. I think for the most part I did okay, but there was one part where I failed. I think I could have taken 30 seconds or a minute to introduce myself and ask their names, maybe to build a relationship. So I'm still learning some of this stuff too. But when it comes to, how do we serve our neighbors? How do we do things for each other? I think this congregation does a pretty good job. And like me, I think that we can do maybe a little bit better in some areas. I'm not trying to say, we don't do enough. Well, maybe we never do enough, but we do some good stuff is what I'm trying to say. And we can continue to improve. But I think that there's even more that we can think about with this. And I'd like to turn our attention to Scripture and invite Scott to read. This is a section of the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John's Last Supper is very different from the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Number one, it happens earlier in the book than in the others. And number two, there are some particular teachings and activities that Jesus engages in that are different. And so we'll hear from the 13th chapter of John.
So this is John 13, 1 through 5. Before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table and took off his robes. Picking up a linen towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. And then from John 13, 13 through 17, you call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example. Just as I have done, you also must do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you will be happy if you do them.
Thank you, Scott, for that reading. I know that there are several folks here who either through vocation or through hobby or being engaged with groups like Toastmasters are used to some elements of public speaking. And one of the things that many public speakers will do is at the end of whatever it is that they're trying to say, they'll sort of wrap up their core key points. They'll sort of tie it into a nice little bundle to leave folks with, here's what I want you to remember out of this. Now, if you've ever been a kind of speaker or heard a kind of speaker who does something over a period of time, like here's an example. I love being a pastor at church camps where there's a whole week of, you know, either elementary school or junior high or high school kids where we're going through these different scriptures and themes through various days. But really when it gets to that last day, it's time to wrap up everything that you're doing. And if you've heard public speakers do this, you might experience that too. Now, Jesus, I think it's very clear, is an incredibly gifted public speaker. And you see how on a meal that we identify as the last meal that Jesus shares with his disciples is the time that he chooses to wrap up all of the important things that he wants them to remember. In the Gospel of John, what does he do? He starts with an object lesson. He washes their feet. And then later, and it wasn't read here, but later he gives them a new commandment. Love each other. It's such an important commandment, he says it three times. He wraps up all of his teaching over the 3 years of his ministry with this. Serve each other and love each other. And frankly, I'm not sure there's much of a distinction between those two. How does he offer that object lesson? I love this idea. If you think about being in first century Jerusalem, how did you get around? On foot. You didn't have a nifty scooter, right? My kids' Razor scooters, no, didn't have any of those. You know, I drive an electric car, didn't have any of those. Not even any of those old school gas cars. How did they get around? They get on their feet. And what kind of shoes did they wear? Did they wear their rainbow Chucks? They wore sandals. And so when you think about that, people who would walk miles a day wearing sandals, what did their feet look like? Their feet were probably okay because they were able to get pedicures every week, right? No, their feet were horrible. Can you imagine? I have a friend at the church where I grew up who is just, she's one of those humans who doesn't want to wear shoes. And her feet look like she never wears shoes. It was the job of the lowliest servant in the house to wash the master's feet because it was gross. It was disgusting. And Jesus, as one who we call master, what did he do? He got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. He said, "Let me serve you." And he did it in a closed room, where nobody else could see and say, "Oh, look at that Jesus guy, how great he is. He's even washing the disciples' feet." You see, I think that we as people of faith, I think that we are called to participate in building God's kingdom. I think that we are called to serve one another. I think we are called to do the worst and most disgusting jobs sometimes, and we're called to do it without getting pat on the back. We're called to do it because it's the right thing. And here's a way I'd like to challenge you, because I think this is a little bit of a different perspective. And hear it in this way. A friend of mine named Brent Ross, he's the pastor at the United Methodist Church in Normal Heights. He told me this story just yesterday. There was a couple that he met in his congregation, and he and his wife just felt like they just sort of clicked. You know, you ever met someone, you just feel like they, you know, you click, right? So they met this couple, and they decided, well, you know, let's have him over. Let's, you know, figure something out like that. And so they went, and he went to approach this couple, and they came to him and said, "Hey, we want to have you over." It's one of those things where just sort of all falls in line the way that works out sometimes. And they, oh, okay. So they worked out the details. They worked out the date, and this couple said, "Well, we'll have you over on this date." And so Brent started working out the details with his wife. All right, well, so we're going to get together, and here's the date that we're going to get together. And his wife said, you know, I was looking at my calendar just now, and I've got a really full week, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do any of the preparatory things, you know, for getting together with this couple. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave that to you. And Brent said, that's great. You know, I looked at my calendar, too, and my calendar's really full, but I think I can still work it out. You know, if I plan the menu on Tuesday and shop on Wednesday, by Friday, you know, no problem at all, you know, no trouble. And so it gets partway through the week, and like many clergy schedules do, his schedule explodes. And it gets to be the day before, and he hasn't menu planned, he hasn't been to the store. So he's sitting in the grocery store parking lot, and he's going through his phone looking at recipes. And then he realizes, all right, well, I think this will work, but, you know, we live in Southern California, and it's important to ask people if they're, like, vegetarian or vegan, like, what are their food, right? We lived in Nebraska. Nobody talked about that stuff in Nebraska except for this one crazy family. But we live in California where, you know, you got to ask these kinds of questions. So he sent him an email because it was the only contact information he had for this couple. He sent him an email, hey, do you have any food allergies or preferences or things? Because I'm going to go shopping today and I want to make sure that I get something that's okay for you. And he goes into the store and he's got an idea, but they don't have some of the things that he needs. So he's sort of thinking on his feet, trying to get some substitute things and just try to assemble together on really short notice. And then his phone dings and he gets an email back from this couple. Are you joking? You're coming over to our house. And he realized in that moment that he got to be the guest. He got to be the guest. He was going to be able to go into that couple's home and just be a guest and just be present. But how many times do we need to realize that we are the guest? When it comes to us going out into the community, do we go out into the community so that we can gather people together so they'll show up in church on Sunday morning? Or do we go out into the community and recognize that the community's already there and we are guests in the community? When we serve a meal here on Wednesday night or when we take a meal out to the shelter, when we engage in our powerful, powerful ministry to participate in the Pride Parade and the Pride Festival, when we show up at community events, do we go so that we can get people gathered together here in church? Or do we go because we're guests and because we care? Do we go because we're doing the right thing because it's the right thing? You know, a number of times in the Gospels, Jesus says you got to be careful of those religious leaders who pray the extra long prayers so that people will notice and think that they're especially devout. Jesus says pay attention to those religious leaders who dress in a particular way to get your attention so that you'll see that they're especially devout. Pay attention to those religious leaders who sit up in front of everyone so that they will be noticed. That's why I'm always nervous sitting up here. Pay attention to the people who do good things so that they will be noticed. My friends, I believe that Christ calls us to do good things because they're the right thing to do, not so that we'll be noticed, not so that we'll get more people in church. Do the right thing because it's the right thing. But here's where, like, I think this is already a little uncomfortable. Because sometimes we'll talk about, well, you know, we do this great meal on Wednesday nights, and, you know, maybe we can invite some of those folks to come to church. And that's a good thing, but that's not the reason we're having the meal. I've heard people talk about, maybe I've even said the same thing. It's a good thing to go out and have a float in the Pride Parade, because maybe we'll be able to invite some folks to come and participate in this congregation. I think it's a good thing to invite folks to participate in this congregation, but I don't think that's the reason that we're in the Pride Parade. We must do the right thing because it's the right thing, not to build ourselves up, not to pat ourselves on the back. But can we call ourselves people of faith if we don't live like it? I sort of assume that all of us who are gathered here in some way call ourselves Christians. In some way identify with a life and death and resurrection with the teachings of Jesus Christ. I like to say the incarnation of Jesus Christ. But can we call ourselves that if we're not out in our communities as guests being the church? And here's what I think. I think if we cannot live our faith we need to ask ourselves if we can call ourselves Christians. Now we're uncomfortable. Now, I believe this church does amazing things. I have had one-on-one conversations with many of you, not all of you, and I believe this is a place filled with amazing people. And for the most part, I think we do good stuff because it's the right thing to do. Are we doing all that we're called to do? Can we push a little bit harder? Can we do a little bit more? Because this place, this church, is not a place to shelter ourselves from the evils of the world. This is a place to be nourished and strengthened and challenged so that we can get out of this place and be the church. The church is not this room. I invite you, my friends, to hear God's call, because I believe that God calls each and every one of us in a unique way, to hear God's call, to respond to God's call, not because we'll be seen, not because we'll have more people in church, but because it's the right thing to do, because we are offered a divine mandate. If we are people of faith, if we are Christians, let's be the church. Friends, we have this opportunity to be in community and prayer with one another, and so I invite you to be in a spirit of connection and care for one another as we pray. Holy and gracious God, we are glad for this opportunity to be in this community today as we lift up our prayers of petition, our prayers where we might seek guidance or strength, or the prayers of celebration where we offer our thanks to you. This day we offer a prayer of thanksgiving for improvement for a cousin Jeff after experiencing a stroke, prayers for Jeff for continued healing. Lifting up prayers for victims and perpetrators of domestic violence, especially this Super Bowl Sunday when domestic violence is so prevalent. Lifting up a prayer for a cousin, Cheryl, who is having emergency surgery on Tuesday to correct a life-threatening condition. We lift up our prayers for the family and friends of Craig Orange, who passed away a week ago today and whose funeral service was yesterday. We offer a prayer for Su-Yen Kun and her family as she travels to New York and will have surgery. We lift up a prayer for Selena and her family on the loss of Selena's father. We lift up a prayer for Chuck for healing as he has been hospitalized this week, yet returned to worship this last service. We lift up two prayers that will be left unread, one for strength and one for guidance in finding a job. Holy God, we lift up all these things to you and any of our prayers that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer, "Talk to us by your Son." At this period in our worship service, we include a version of the Lord's Prayer that's sung that we're not licensed to provide online. And so I invite you to join me in the spoken Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.